Hello and welcome back to another episode of the CrossFit Harrow podcast. It has been another long day for me. If you listen to this as soon as it comes out, I'm still working out the live feature and all that. But it's pretty late. Long day. Exciting things happening, but long day and part of the parcel. So I actually want to begin this podcast with a little bit of touch and base about what we spoke about last week with regards to your fitness pension. And I was having a chinwag with a catch up really with my best friend and still is from school. And we were talking about like we were both driving. I think he was going to a game and I was coming back from work. I was supposed to be playing but couldn't play anyway. And we were talking about like longevity, and I know that you hear me say this all the time, and it's not going to be one of those podcasts because I'm actually going to talk about the most common questions that I get asked, and some of the questions that some of you listeners have sent in. So basically, I answer your questions. However, before I get there, just a bit of a touch base on last week's episode. We were having a conversation, and we remember, and he triggered memory for me of like when we were 14 and 15, we were going to like Burnt Oak Leisure Centre, and I can't remember how much it cost or whatever. To be honest, there was times where we obviously weren't earning any money, we didn't have any money. We might have paid up for a week or so and got like a membership card, and we just kept showing that, and we probably done that for fuck knows 2 years before anyone realised that we weren't active subscribers. Anyway, we remember going, and we remember the going in, and there was a weight section, and we were like 14, 15, we were stacking the leg machine, and you know, we were just exploring bench pressing and training and treadmill, and we just remember people taking the piss out of us, because rather than like going out and having a, well, maybe obviously not at 14, but it was a little bit later than that. At 14, 15, we were smashing footballs in a local park against us, each other. We would stand 60 yards apart. We would go out for bleep tests in the pissing rain on Tuesday night after school. Wednesday night after school, we log on to Pro Direct Soccer weekly, where they would be releasing, you know, new boots. We go down to Sports Direct. I think we used to get the 292 from where we live down to Boreham Wood to the Sports Direct, and you could buy boots for peanuts. I mean, fucking nowadays they are ridiculous. But just doing all that groundwork of being active and going out for cycles. I remember there was three of us. We cycled from Edgware to Watford, the back roads through Hatch End and all that. And my pedal broke on my bike, and my mate that I caught up with. He gave me his bike, and he pedalled. And I don't know, I can't even remember, but he got that bike back home. We were just so fit because we just weren't shy of doing the groundwork. But remember people taking the piss, because we were doing that rather than going out and having beers or, you know, doing partying and blah, blah, blah. And the reason I'm starting this podcast with that is because I want you to think about what we were talking about last week about building that profile, you know, that fitness pension for later on in life. And the groundwork started for us, you know, when we were 14, 15, of doing those things, going over to the park, smashing footballs at each other, doing bleep tests out in the piss and rain, running, doing laps around the park, doing sprint agility training, doing all, you know, these big cycles and going down to that leisure centre and using those machines. Like, that was the groundwork, and that was a stepping stone for us. And you know what, I often get comments about my legs and stuff, and I truly believe after that conversation, I think it's from that. From being so young and just building that foundation so early. And if we translate that now into everyday life, right, most listeners are going to be around the same age as me, 33, 34. And if you're not, even if you're a little bit older than that, you've still got, and or younger, you know, you've obviously got plenty of time. And you want to think about if you can sensibly do the groundwork now, the position that you're going to be in later on in life, and don't think about now. Like, you know, when we were doing those things, 14, 15, there wasn't a phone in sight. There wasn't Facebook. There wasn't Instagram. There wasn't YouTube. I think, to be honest, they were probably only just coming out. And I think you were the oddball if you fucking had it. But there was no, I don't even think there was iPhones. I think iPhone came out when I was maybe 16. No, later than that, maybe. I can't remember. In fact, let me give that a quick Google, because I'm not sure when the first iPhone came out. Some of you are probably answering to me, but obviously I can't hear you. When did the first iPhone come out? 2007. Yes, I was 17. I was 17. There was none of that in sight. TV, you didn't like. I think the most TV that I watched or he watched would have probably been Match of the Day on a Saturday night. But now there's so many distractions. But anyway, just think about doing the groundwork for now and be sensible about it. You don't have to look at the fucking dickhead that you watch on social media and that, you know, pretends that wakes up at 4 a.m, does a nice bath, fucking reads before work, meditates, goes to work 3 hours a day, drives a fucking yacht to work and all that. Like, just, that's not real. Like, that's fabricated. Please, believe me. Like, please, please. So do the groundwork now. And your older age, you'll be injury-free, you'll be in great shape, good health. And, you know, also a recent event happened to me, actually to my partner. And we experienced hospital treatment. And at the time, obviously, it's not an attack on anyone that works for hospitals or anything like that, but it took us 12 and a half, 13 hours to get seen to, and which is not good after a serious event. The reason I'm telling you this is because if you can look at, like, basically you don't want to rely on the healthcare system, regardless of whether you pay private or pay or don't, you know. I'm not saying that it's bad, it's a fantastic thing. We're one of the luckiest countries in the world to have something like that. But what my message is that if you don't need to use it, don't, right? So if you can stay away from refined sugars and processed sugars and processed food, and if you can avoid staying on your phone and blue light for too long, if you can get out in the sun, if you can do 30 minutes activity every day, if you can work in different training zones, that go back a little bit and learn about, you know, the podcast that I spoke about, zone 1 to 5. 5 doesn't have to happen often. It's mainly a case of zone 2s and zone 3s. If you can stay injury free, stay mobile, you know, go to Pilates, go to yoga, whatever it is, like, you know, those things are hard to do, but they're so profound and they have such a positive and compound effect on us that we often take it for granted. And you always, you know, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I'm about the long game. Like, you have to play the long game with these things. And you really want to rely or not rely on those things. You know, if you've got an opportunity, grow your own vegetables, grow your own some fruit. For those of you that don't know, when we moved over this way, moved house, although it's my project, we took on an allotment and we started growing. I mean, we moved over and got the allotment in middle of October, so not the ideal time to grow, but we started it and we had some broad beans come through and stuff. Obviously the weather recently now has fucked everything, but we've got four little plots of land where we get to grow our own vegetables, we get to grow our own fruit, we've got cherry trees, plum trees, and come summer and, you know, when the season is ready to plant and sow seeds and that, we can start relying on our own produce, and that is going to be so much better than, you know, buying sometimes out of the supermarkets because of the stuff that goes on them. We can have a better balanced diet through that. Exercising, you know, 3 to 4, maybe 5 times a week, depending on the level of intensity. Like, it's efficient. So if you can do all of those things, you're not going to rely on a system that, you know, needs a lot of help. And there's people out there that require it a lot more than we might need or whatever it might be. But my message is, build the life that you don't need support from healthcare individuals. You want to be almost independent from that. That should, you know, touch wood, something goes wrong, obviously, unless it's something acute that happens instantaneously, there's nothing, you know, we stand a little bit limited chance, but you don't want it to be chronic. You don't want to have ill health because of bad decisions that you do now. Anyway, that was supposed to be pretty short. That's 10 minutes of me rambling about that. I said I would answer some of your questions. So I did actually get a question about how often I should be exercising. And really, this depends on your goal. And you might hear that quite regularly this evening, because there isn't a one size fits all. It is very much dependent on what you want to achieve. So, you know, if you're someone who has a specific goal, you know, like maybe, I don't know, whatever the scenario is, even if you were to train for a triathlon, or, you know, use that for example, it's likely that you're probably going to do 3, maybe 4 training sessions a week. So within those training sessions, you probably train each one of those modalities. So you would have a run, a bike, and a swim. And another day, you might do some accessory work, which would be related to core and injury prevention, right? But that intensity of that day is very different. Now, on the bike day and the swim and even the run, they're not going to be at max effort. A lot of it is going to be zone 2 and zone 3. And you might taper it a little bit closer. You might do some intervals at higher speeds and higher rates, higher heart rates and stuff. But to be honest, although there's no one size fits all, as a rule of thumb, 3 to 4 is pretty sensible. You need to think within that. You also got to manage your life. You've got to manage your relationship with your partner. You've got to manage your relationship with work. You've got to manage your own sanity. You've got to manage relationships with other, you know, other people. There's that you can't just fucking do 7 days a week because you see some other bollocks do it online. So that's my answer to you. Very much dependent on your goal, but 3 to 4 days a week is enough. Another one that someone has sent in to me, just going through, is working out with an empty stomach. Now, I don't think there's loads of research. No, sorry, there is a lot of research. I haven't got it to hand, but from what I remember, I don't think there's significant advantage for doing it on and for training on an empty stomach. I'm an advocate of fuel, right? You need fuel, you need food to perform. So I would always say to someone, eat, okay, and then train. Right, obviously there's time gaps within that. You have probably heard that you know, skipping a meal and help you lose weight, etc., but that's not necessarily, I mean, that is that can happen, but for me that approach makes you hungrier through the day, so then you're likely to then binge later on. And if you don't do it after 2 days, you'll certainly do it after 3, because you're hungry. Your body needs fuel. So should you work out on an empty stomach? I don't think you should. What will change if you do? I'm not really sure. I think you might find that you may not have as much energy, possibly, but it also depends on the type of training you're doing. If you're looking to lift heavy weights in the morning, probably not. If you're looking for burning fat, now I think there's I'm not sure if this is fact or not, or if it's just hearsay, but there is and I know a little bit about it, but not loads. They used to say that if you train on an empty stomach, it would help you burn fat a little bit more. But that is if I'm not mistaken, I think that's very much dependent on the energy source and fuel source that you have stored and the energy systems that you're training, and that the energy or the fuel source that is available to your body. Your body will naturally go for carbohydrates as a fuel source, and if it can't tap into that, it will tap into your fat source. But I, again, if I'm not mistaken, it will tap into your fat source based on if your protein intake is or protein levels are accurate or relevant. But you'd never want to be tapping into your protein energy source, because that's where it starts to break down muscle fibers and you become catabolic as opposed to anabolic. So in order to build muscle, you want to be anabolic. God, that brings me back like 12 years. But I can't remember. That is something along those lines. So should you? Maybe, probably not. Could you? If you want to, I mean, try it, see if it works for you. If it does, when I say work for you, see what the differences are. Do you feel like you've got more energy? Do you feel like you're performing better? Do you feel less, more hungry for the day? Do you feel that you've got more control of things? See it. See how it goes. See how it goes. Now, the common one, actually, that I often get, and it's just off the top of my head, is how to build muscle doing CrossFit. Now, look at, if you look at the guys and the girls who are at top level, they're jacked, right? They're fucking pumped. Now, how do you do that? Well, firstly, that comes over time. Secondly, there's an element of progressive overload, right? And you're not always going to get that with some of the style of CrossFit workouts, because limiting factor is going to be the weight that you can move, but then it should be relevant to you, and that means that you get the right intensity, and then over time you can add more weight. But in theory, to build muscle, you know, the simple answer to give you is that if you use 10 kilo 1 week for 3 sets of 10, there's 2 approaches here. The next week that you do this, you could do 3 sets at 12.5, or you could do a set at 10, a set at 12.5, and a set at 15. But that all depends on reps and sets and everything else. So generally the hypertrophy range is going to be between 8 and 12, and generally 3 to 4 sets. Now, obviously CrossFit doesn't work like that, but there are a lot of accessory things that you can do that. There's obviously strength days that you do that. Strength days, so you do that too. So the compounds lift, like your squat, deadlift, and bench press, you know, they're days and things where you should certainly be looking to progressively overload in that sense. Now, the clean and the snatch, for example, it's like if you try to see a bodybuilder scratch their back, right? That's not the position that you want to be in. And that's why CrossFit is so profound, because you tick all those boxes of agility, coordination, balance, flexibility, etc., speed, power. So you need to train all those facets. But in short, how do you build muscle? Progressive overload. You lift X this week, next week you lift a little bit more. Now, that won't always occur, because there'll be sticking points. But that in short is my answer. Someone asked me the question as well and sent in of when can I start seeing results? Now, that is a very open-ended question. There are so many variables to answer to that. Now, generally, most people will see a result or start seeing changes within themselves like 8 to 12 weeks. Most people will see it on someone else after like 4 weeks. So if someone started the gym, and someone goes to the gym and they're, you know, training consistently and eating very well, you might see them 4 weeks later after not seeing them and say, oh, you know, you're looking great, because you would have noticed a little bit of a change. The person doing it won't notice as much change. They won't notice that till later on. But when should you start, or how do you start seeing them? You have to, there's a lot of variables, right? Nutrition is a massive part, and you need to start connecting. If you're someone who's been training for a long time and you haven't got the performance that you want, or you don't look the way that you want to look, or perceive yourself to be the way, you know, you need to take this as a message that you need to take control of nutrition, okay? Because your training mounts up to 3 hours, 4 hours of your week, and there is so much more time left in the week for you to take control of that. And it also means that you need to eat the right amount of food. So you can definitely undereat, and you can certainly overeat. This is why working with someone who has experience in that can help you. But I think people need to be open to nutrition. Nutrition is not just a case of like, if I eat less, I'll lose weight. It, you know, seeing results, what is it that you're marking or measuring yourself against? Is it that you want to see weight go up on your lifts? Is it that you want to see your weight go down a scale? Is that you want to drop body fat? Are you training relevant to your goal? And it's very, very common that people don't, right? You'll be surprised that people don't train to their goal. So an example would be like someone says to me, I want to learn how to do a pull-up. And then they might not turn up to pull-up days. They might just look to get heavier in squats and deadlifts. And whilst you can translate some of that strength, there's no better way than learning how to pull up, to learn how to use your midline and also pull in various different planes, horizontal, vertical, frontal plane, sagittal plane. Like you need to be learning how to pull in different planes of motion, because that is going to transpire into that's going to transpire into all your other pullings, you know, single arm pulling, pulling horizontally. I did say sagittal, but that's not that you're not going to pull. I don't think you're going to pull in a sagittal plane. There's probably a way that you can do that. I can't think of the top of my head. So in short, again, establish what your goal is and then make sure that you have a plan for that goal and everything that you're doing is contributing to that goal. You can't have a goal and not contribute to it. It's like having planning for retirement but not having any assets or not putting money away to save for. That's probably a better way to put it. Maybe. Protein intake, very big question. How much protein should I have? As a rule of thumb, aim to have the same amount of grams in protein as a minimum that you weigh in kilos. So for example, if you weigh 80 kilos, you would have at least 80 grams. However, if you're asking me this question, and you're wanting to know this as a listener personally, not the person who's asked me the question, well, actually, and to you, the person who's asked the question, you are a gym goer. So it's likely that you're going to have 1.2 at least to 1.5. Men generally go a little bit more than that, maybe between 1.5 and 1.7. Extreme will go 2. There's no need for 2. That's a lot of protein. It's a lot of protein. It's tough on kidneys and digestive system as well. But yeah, use that as a rule of thumb. 1.25 is enough. If you're going gym 3-4 times a week, yeah. If you're someone who's maybe less active in 1 to 2, or just every day, you know, not into the gym, but I'm assuming that you guys listening, you're into some sort of health fitness, 1.2 is sufficient. Supplements. Do you need to take supplements? No, not really. You don't need to take them if you're getting everything from your diet. If you're someone, for example, that struggles for time or struggles, time is probably the biggest example, then it's a case that you might supplement some protein in terms of the form of protein powder. Is protein powder bad for you? No, not necessarily. However, if you can get your fuel source from food, absolutely get it from food and not through powder. Sometimes it's convenient to have those powders. But what I will say though, you can supplement, but don't supplement with like protein bars. They are absolutely, I mean, I've had them in the past, they taste great, but they are full of shit. I think Greg Glassman's whole motto was, whole mottos, but there's an element of fitness in 100 words, and it basically says, world-class fitness in 100 words, and it is simply eat meat and vegetables, nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch, and no sugar. Keep your intakes to levels that will support exercise but not body fat, and then practice major lifts, deadlifts, clean, squat, presses, clean and jerk, and snatch. But if you just take the first bit of, if you base your diet and base your food around eating real meat, vegetables, nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch, as in potatoes, rice, pastas, and no sugar, you keep those intakes that will support exercise, so you're fueling for performance and not to add mass, then you're pretty much there. I mean, there's obviously an argument to that with regards to vegetarians, but you know, religion or personal choice, that's up to you. I am a meat eater, and I found I have had fantastic results over the years through that. But you have to find what works for you. But you can still apply that. There's no reason. There's no reason why you can't. Best exercise for fast results. Don't exist, mate. Unfortunately, doesn't exist. There's a saying. If you want it, you can pick 3 things. I'm actually going to Google this whilst we go through this, because I want to read it properly. It's actually in my barber's. Cheap and fast. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. So the general concept is you have 3 choices when you want something. You can make it quick, cheap, or well. But you can only have 2. So cheap and fast, good and cheap, or fast and good. Is that right? Cheap and fast would be low quality. Good and cheap would be too slow. And fast and good would be expensive. So the best the best exercise for fast results, if it's kind of easy and like when I say cheap in this circumstance, it'll be easy. And if it's fast, you know, like people saying to you, buy this detox thing, it's very poor quality. You know, it's not good. If it's good but it's cheap, again, maybe too good to be true. If it's fast and good, it's going to be expensive. Yeah, you can only pick two. Maybe it's not the right way to. Maybe I've not explained that very well, actually. Yeah, I'm not sure if I have explained that well. Sorry, I thought I had. But going back to the question, hopefully, I talk sometimes in riddles. Hopefully, you got that. But best exercise, they don't exist. If fast results don't exist, it's too good to be true. You patience, right? Whatever you have done has taken you a while to achieve in terms of whatever aspects of your life, and nothing has come with fast results. And if you're still in that mindset, you still have a lot to learn. And I mean that respectfully. Of how your body needs to adapt to training and the results that you can possibly get, right? We'll finish up with the last one. Let me find one that's been sent in that maybe speaks to more of us. Very good one. What do you do if you're not a morning person but have a hard time getting motivated to go to the gym after a hard day at work? Well, I mean, there's two choices, right? Get up and go, or go after work. You have to look at them in reality. That they're your two choices. Unless you have got the fortunate, you're fortunate enough to be able to take time off during the day. But I think you have to think about setting unrealistic expectations. If you're someone that is, you know, does struggle to get up, and I will openly say that, so that maybe this helps you with the answer, is that I'm not a morning person. In terms of, I find it very difficult to get up at the crack of dawn, 5, 6 a.m. And I would also, I can do it, but it certainly affects me. I prefer to have my training and stuff in the day after a couple of meals, which generally helps me. But I think it's setting yourself realistic expectations. Like, you know, yes, you've had a hard day at work, but that's probably not going to change. You never really come back from work and say that wasn't a challenging day. If you're in a job that fulfills you, you're not going to come back from work and say that was never a hard day, or it was easy day today. Or you know, you might have a quieter day, but every day at work is going to be hard and challenging, you know, physically or more mentally. So I think it's about setting expectations of when is realistic for you to work out. But it's almost a bit counterintuitive, because by working out, it's going to regularly improve how you feel and about training. And also that success will breed the motivation to do that. The hardest step, and it's also always heard, is that the hardest step is taking that first step or going. And once you're there, it's fine. But certainly set those real expectations of when you can. And just like how you would plan, like when you're going on holiday or the things that you're going to do on holiday, plan your week of when you can go. You know, if you know that, I don't know, I'm making this scenario up. If you know that you're in meetings on a Monday all day and you're not going to be away from the laptop and, you know, or the computer, or you have to travel in the office, like, don't set that as your training day. However, if you know the next day that you've got your project is ticking over or whatever, and you've got more flexible time or more free time, or it's going to be less demanding mentally, then set those days as your training days. Like, there's you don't have to train on a Monday. You don't have to start on a Monday. You don't have to have those expectations just because everyone else has. You set your own. But that's how I can, I think, the easiest way to answer that. But I am going to wrap it up because it's getting later and later. For those of you that listen, for me it's now 11 o'clock and I have had a very long day today, and I'm going to set my expectations of I need to rest and recover, because I have a big day of teaching and meetings and everything tomorrow, and I need to rest myself, otherwise my motivation will go down because I will have lack of sleep. So have a great week. If you've got more things that you want me to answer, please send those in, because I would love nothing more but to be able to answer those questions for you. And I hope you found this useful. But we'll be back next week with another episode and another topic.